Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's USDA Report Day, the 12th day of August, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the numbers, not only with Kirk Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, but also with Daryl Good from the U of I. And we'll take a look at the impact of the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Along the way today, we'll also discuss the weather forecast with the guys up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
After the United States Department of Agriculture released some lower numbers for the estimated size of the crop for the corn and the soybeans today, futures rallied in both of those pits. Wheat futures were higher as well. September contract settled at $6.35 for the soft red, up 1.5 cents. December at $6.49, up 1.75. December hard red at $7.06¾, 3.25 cents higher. September corn futures up 6.25 today to settle at $4.72. December at $4.64, up 10.75, and the March corn at $4.77¼, 10.5 cents higher. The May futures, $4.85½, up 10.5 cents, and July at $4.91¼, a dime higher. December next year at $4.98¾, up 9 cents. August soybeans, $13.73¾, up 33. September, $12.56½, up 38. And November beans, 43 cents higher at $12.25¼. January at 12:30, up 42, and the March at 12:32¾, 40¼ cents higher. And next year's November beans at $11.94½, up 32¼. Bean meal futures at $4.25.70, rallied $5.20. Bean oil at $42.32, up 92 cents for the day. Live cattle futures in the August at $123.60, $1.10 higher. October at $127.40, up 52.5 cents per 100 pounds. August feeders at $153.50 were down 35. September's at $157, even 47.5 cents lower for the feeder cattle and the October lean hogs today, $86.20, $1.22½ higher for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and the College of Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the September at $106.14 a barrel, up 17 cents. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $2.90¾ a gallon. That's down 0.4 cents. And ethanol futures trading at $2.16¼ and 0.9 cents higher. The difference between the two, now 73¼ cents, 2¾ cents narrower than Friday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.31¼, that's up 0.8¢. And diesel fuel for the day at $3.25, up 0.3¢. Gold futures finished at $1,334.90 an ounce, up $22.40. And the U.S. dollar at 81.34 is up 0.21 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. It comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 86 degrees. Tonight, a 40% chance of rainfall. A few thunderstorms. Those will come before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, and a low of 62 in the area. And then 79 degrees and sunny tomorrow, clear and 51 on Tuesday evening. On Wednesday, sunny skies and 76. Wednesday night, mostly clear and 52. Thursday, sunny skies and 76. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, or rather mostly clear and 55. And sunny skies on Friday and 79 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear and 58. By the time we get to the weekend and Saturday, sunny skies and 80, clear and 61 on Saturday evening, and mostly sunny skies Sunday, with a high near 82. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy there in Chicago, Illinois. In the mean space, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of August 2013. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released the latest crop production and WASDE figures. It shows an average corn production of 13.763 billion bushels. That's not average, but total size on the estimates. The average guess was just above 14 billion bushels for production. Average yield at 154.4, says USDA. The guess at 157.7. Soybean production, the guess by the trade at 3.336 billion bushels, and USDA says 3.255 billion bushels on an average yield of 42.6. The national average yield guess was 43.6 by the trade. On the phone line now with us from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to take these numbers up and what happened in Chicago post 11 a.m. Central Time is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How was your day?
Well, it got kind of hectic once the clock struck 11 this morning here with the surprising news of the, of course, as you mentioned there, the yield numbers coming down over 2 bushels to the acre, really up, set the tone there of a fairly active trade for about a good hour, hour and a half.
Yeah, so what do you find in the numbers of most interest to you? I know the yield number was one of them. Did you look further into it? Did you dice it out and have some problems with it? Did I think it was right?
Well, what they're telling us is, and we'll get some more confirmation what's going on, is there's probably not enough good corn yield-wise to offset the poorer yield areas, you know, to keep the yield pointed towards 160. What we're looking at longer term, though, is, you know, the big question is, have we seen the highest yield? Well, maybe not. If we come in and lower harvested acres down the road, they'll bump the yield back up. But the bottom line is the production number at this point is going to be awful hard to get back above the 13.9, 14 billion bushels, unless they find some good corn in some areas. When you dig a little further into the domestic supply-demand balance sheet, they scale back the exports just a tad bit. If you go back to some previous expectations, they were looking for exports to almost double at one point in time, up towards that 1.4 billion bushels. So we need to see China come forward and continue to buy a little bit of our corn, and our traditional buyers, Mexico and Japan, to be a little bit more aggressive this new crop year here. And but the long side of it is that 1.8, there's still plenty of supplies ending stock-wise to work with. There's still a little cushion in the supply-demand balance sheet. We're going to see these moving targets continue to move around a little bit. But overall, I would expect that the trade's in a position now to maybe see a little bit of a short covering bounce. The commodity funds are heavily short on the corn side, on the shorter term traders, that is. And there's reason to believe that they're in a position now, if they want to take a little profit or cover some shorts, we'll put the December futures contract in a position to take a run back up towards this $4.90, possibly $5 level if we can get everything to fall in place. We did have a good old-fashioned reversal to the upside. The market came down, made a new low on this move, and was able to close above the previous day's high. For those who follow momentum indicators, we've got some divergences where the futures price made some new lows here, but the momentum indicators failed to make some new lows. So the trade's probably got little caught here with the idea that, you know, the crop was a little bigger, the trend remained lower into Labor Day, where now maybe we could see some good old-fashioned short covering here for a short period of time.
So an outside up day for the day in the December contract, the reversal you just talked about, and if you can hang on to the upside for the week, you'll post an outside up week maybe too, huh?
Yeah, that's the thing, is to get some follow-through. There's been some markets in the past where we've had these technical reversals and then they fail to hold. This technical reversal could really take hold here if we could have a frost or freeze by September 15th, Todd.
Well, there you go. That kind of bottom lines it in one sentence really quickly, doesn't it? Yeah, so I've got a couple of other things for you as you look at the numbers from USDA. Carry out for corn, as you mentioned, 1.8. It's 1.837 billion for the 2014 crop, 2013-14 marketing year, or the crop that's in the ground at the moment. And they're at 719 million bushels for the crop that we harvested last fall. That's 10 million bushels less than the July estimate, but it still makes it through the process, I guess, to the end of the growing, to the beginning of the harvest for the new crop.
Yeah, you know, it's basically pipeline supply. They're trying to estimate that and put some type of number on there. The significance of that, though, is trying to put a number on that, it gives us a beginning number for our 2013-14 marketing year crop. And the thing is, everyone well knows we're stealing new crop production in the South and using that to fulfill a little bit of this old crop demand and through here. But when you look at a 700 million bushel carryout versus 1.8 billion bushel carryout, the urgency to step up and buy it is just not there just yet. But they will be eager on some harvest pressure in here to gather some inventory due to the fact that they're pretty well empty. Producers are not as sold up as much as they have been into the past. That means the end user is not bought up as much as they have been in the past going into the harvest.
And then the other numbers that came out from USDA, of course, with soybeans, they expect the ending stocks for this year not to change at 125 million, for next year at 220 million bushels. The average trade, or the average national cash grain price, according to USDA for corn, up a dime on both ends, but up 60 cents on both ends for soybeans, so they're looking for something to happen there.
Yeah, when you go back to last winter when the analysts were projecting what the supply-demand balance sheet would look like for this new crop bean marketing year, expectations were up over 300 million bushels, and we've dwindled that away and through here. When you work with the numbers a little bit. Today's drop in yield, they've been working on the bean acreage number a little bit more aggressive than the corn acreage number. They might be to a point where it suggests that this bean yield might stay where it's at or go a little lower yet. 220 million bushel, that's a lot, but when you start messing or moving the yield just another bushel, and moving the demand just a little bit, that bean supply demand balance sheet could tighten up even a little bit further yet. So there's a little bit more optimism in the bean market. Like I mentioned, the supply demand balance sheet did not show a whole big increase in demand like the corn supply demand balance sheet does. So the beans have a little bit more urgency to hold together here, and the bean buyer will be fairly eager to get some coverage on as it goes in this fall, then sort of sit back and see how the South American crop comes along.
Thank you so much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on the closing market report for a Monday afternoon. You can hear him again, see all the USDA numbers on our website. The Darrell Good interview you're just about to hear is posted there already as well. That's at willag.org, willag.org. Also look into our schedule there. You'll find all the upcoming Outlook panels, including the one Wednesday evening at the First Trust and Savings Bank in Watsika. You need to call Jordan Hurlem in there if you want to call the bank and tell them you'd like to come and see that one, because they are serving a meal. Things start about 5 o'clock, and we'll pick up with Jackie Vakes and Chuck Shelby, along with Oh, yes. Along with, I was thinking about that, Steve Fried from ADM Investor Services will be on that panel. Should be a great panel. If you want to go to it, you can give Jordan Herleman a call there in Watsika at First Trust and Savings Bank.
Support for WILL comes from Bates Commodities, AgriGold, The Andersons, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Farm Credit Services. Thanks to these businesses for their support of WILL agricultural programs.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. The United States Department of Agriculture, of course, released the numbers for the crop production report this morning and the World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimates. Daryl Good is on hand to go through those numbers with us and talk just a bit about them. Let's start with the corn production number. From the report, it might be useful to remember that this now is the largest crop ever harvested in the United States.
Yeah, the forecast for a crop just about 13.8 billion bushels, if that actually materializes, would be our largest crop, mostly coming from the acreage side. USDA did not change their forecast of harvested acres from what we saw in June. Whether that will eventually change or not when we get FSA data, we'll see. But so we've got big acres and a reasonable yield forecast on corn at just over 154 bushels per acre. That probably is a little bit less than the market was looking for, 3 to 4 bushels, probably shy of the average trade guess. And so 13.8, and the question is, how will that change going forward in September and again October, November?
State-by-state breakdowns surprise you at all anywhere across the board?
You know, I think the relationships here in the middle of the country were a little bit surprising. Illinois at 165, Indiana 166, Minnesota 166, Iowa 163. I think the expectation was that the eastern Corn Belt states, Illinois and Indiana, would be much higher than Iowa and Minnesota, but basically the same number. So I think that mix was a little bit surprising to the market.
That leave upside potential for growth in the, not in the price, but upside potential of growth in the size of this crop?
I think there, if we have a full growing season, if we don't get cut short with an early freeze, I think there is perhaps room for the crop to get a little bit larger than the current forecast. We've got to wait a month now to see that, but that would be my expectation at this point.
Average season price for corn, cash price that is, up a dime on both ends.
Right. USDA did lower its projection of consumption, but in my opinion, they're still pretty generous on what they expect to use during the year ahead, probably in both the export market and in the feed market. Those numbers are smaller than projected last month, but still pretty robust. So I'm a little bit concerned that the crop could get bigger and maybe consumption will fall a bit short of our expectations. And bottom line, you know, you're looking at carryover close to 2 billion bushels next year.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I was going to ask. I was like, hey, wait a second, a bigger crop and smaller consumption, those don't go well for average cash price. What do you think farmers ought to do about it? Anything?
Well, you know, In my judgment, I think there is moving forward over the next couple months, maybe a little bit of downside risk in the corn market. So I feel like any kind of rally coming out of this report might be an opportunity to do a little more pricing on new crop corn. We're low enough. I'm not sure how aggressive you really want to be, but there just doesn't seem to be much in the cards that's going to give us a robust recovery in corn prices over the next year. So get any kind of decent rally here near term, I think it would be an opportunity.
Soybean production forecast at 3.26 billion bushels.
Again, a bit smaller than the average trade guess by maybe 80 million bushels. USDA did lower its projection of soybean acres based on the resurvey that it did last month. And average yield of 42.6 bushels was maybe a full bushel below what the average market guessed. So looks like a smallish type soybean crop relative to early expectations. On the demand side, much like corn, the USDA did lower its projection of consumption of soybeans next year, both the domestic crush and exports. citing a combination of lower supplies and higher prices than forecast last month. And seeing a little more competition, I think, from Argentine exports during the year ahead. So the one figure that did stand out on the balance sheet is soybean oil used for biodiesel, projected at 4.6 billion pounds for the year just ending. That jumps up to 5.7 billion pounds next year. So I think USDA does see increased biodiesel production unless the RFS is amended substantially from what we're looking at right now. So I think that's a real positive on the balance sheet. I might also argue that export demand could be a little stronger than the revised production. So I think we may see a little bit tighter balance sheet actually on soybeans compared to what we're looking at right now.
Mm-hmm. On that soy oil number, just one item, as you look into 2014, is it possible if they don't go in and change the RFS, and I suspect they're going to have to at some point, but if they don't, that soybeans could manage, and you suggested this in the past, to hold up the price of corn, despite the fact that it probably would need to go to lower just in order to keep acreage in production?
Right. I think, you know, even if the RFS is amended, and I think it will be, I think the total advanced mandate will come down, but it still means that we need a fair amount of biodiesel during the year ahead. And so I think that would be enough to keep soybean domestic crush fairly supported. I mean, we're starting to use a third of our total oil supply for biodiesel. And probably does need to trigger a bit of an acreage response next year. And so that would come more in the 2014 crop futures. But I think we probably are in an era when we'll see soybean prices higher in relation to corn than what we've seen the past two or three years.
Thank you so much, Darrell.
Thank you.
Darrell Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. This is the August 12 edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the cash grain market. On the phone line is Greg Johnson at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good morning to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, good morning. Good. You know, it's been a busy day. I bet it's been a busy day to you starting, well, at least at 11 a.m., maybe sooner than that. What did you and the farmers think of USDA reports this morning?
Well, I think they would, at least I would agree with the bean numbers. They took the acres down a little bit, and they took the yield down a little bit. We kind of knew they wouldn't take the corn acres down yet, even though, you know, there's so many bare acres in Iowa and Minnesota that sooner or later they're going to have to acknowledge that. The one thing that I really thought was interesting was the Illinois corn yield and the Iowa corn yield are only two bushels different. They've
yeah.
got Illinois at 165 and Iowa at 163, and if I was a betting man, I would bet that when it's all said and done that there's a lot more difference than two bushels an acre between Illinois and Iowa.
Yeah, and that's east and west, western Corn Belt, too, because the numbers from one end to the other, as Darrell Good noted just a few moments ago, aren't that different from one side to the other. So which one goes up or which one goes down? Does the Illinois, Indiana, Ohio number go up, or does Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota number go down?
Both. Illinois, Indiana go up, especially if
yeah.
we could get another rain. And I think Iowa, if they don't get a rain, those numbers could go down dramatically.
Well, how much are they going to go up? Five bushels?
Well, I mean, Illinois at 165,
yeah.
You know, the record for the state is 180, and I don't know if we have a record crop, but I would think we could push something in the 170s anyway.
Man, it could be fun to watch. What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 587, new corn 454, cash beans are 1370, and new beans are 1213.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Back in just a couple minutes, we'll talk about the weather forecast with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy. They're looking down from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Toasted Almond Bar Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1759, Thomas Andrew Knight was born. a British horticulturalist, he initiated the field of fruit breeding, and he investigated the use of greenhouses, plant nutrition, fertilization, and pest control. In 1812, Ephraim Ball was born. An American inventor, he was responsible for creation and manufacture of the Ball's Blue Plow. He also patented what was the first widely successful two-wheel flexible bar mower. In 1851, Isaac Singer was granted a patent for the first sewing machine with a double rocking treadle. In 1948, Harry Beardsley died. He invented stainless steel in 1912. The discovery of the steel, chromium, and nickel alloy revolutionized the cutlery industry. The added metals produced a surface much more rust-resistant than steel alone. And in 2004, Anthony John Clark died, an English molecular biologist. He was a founder of applying molecular technology to farm animals. In 1990, he was successful in producing a sheep giving milk with human proteins. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Mark Russo. He's at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, as always, glad to be here, Todd.
Hey, I want you to go through a couple of things for me over the weekend. We're looking to see where rain fell and did not fall in the Midwest, particularly in Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota. Everybody kind of needs a rainfall, but some places more than others.
Absolutely, Todd. The main rainfall over the weekend was confined to some of your larger corn and soybean counties in far northern Iowa, kind of the top two or northern two to three rows of counties in Iowa, also far southern Minnesota, as well as some scattered areas of eastern Nebraska, southeastern South Dakota received the rains. But all in all, it was a fairly dry weekend across the entire corn and soybean belt.
Yeah, so those places that did receive rain very much, and was it, how much was the coverage?
In general, your totals within those areas were a quarter to around an inch and a half. A few localized areas, particularly in eastern South Dakota, picked up higher than that. But all in all here, it was coverage only came up to maybe 10% of the entire corn and soybean acreage.
Not great. So we need another rainfall. But I don't know whether there's anything in the offing. What can you tell me?
No, there's not here, Todd. And in fact, here it looks even drier here for the next couple of weeks compared to how we ended things late last week. And so it's the pattern here across the Midwest just continues to feature below normal precip totals, at least for this week, at least from now, or what started on Friday and this past Friday and continues through this next Friday. Our forecast coverage is about 35% of the corn and soybean belt, and we expect similar coverage in week two of the forecast. On a temperature standpoint here, that's also kind of a new piece of information. We're going to be getting out of this unseasonably cool pattern that we've been in for the bulk of August. And as we get into the latter part of this week and more so into next week, temperatures will be turning warmer than normal. So now the dryness is going to be combined here with some warmer than normal temperatures. We don't see any kind of excessive heat, but certainly high temperatures here climbing back into the mid to upper 80s and low 90s, even a few pockets a little bit hotter.
So more warmth and less water, those never add up to a good thing completely. But it's not terribly outside of the norm for the month of August. September usually shows us a rainfall, as maybe something happening in the Atlantic Ocean would drive rainfall to us. Anything that you see out there yet?
Yeah, no tropical activity at the present time. It does look, as we get into later this week and next week, there's at least some window of opportunity for development. But if anything was to develop in the Atlantic or Gulf Gulf of Mexico. There's simply no indications of that moisture eventually making into the Midwest.
All right. Anything to add on other parts of the world before I let you go?
Yeah, China continues to be very hot in their North China Plain ag acreage. Also, on the dry side, too, as well. So certainly impacting their corn, soybean, and cotton acreage in the North China Plain.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Monday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.